like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you here right at Atlanta Business Radio X, where we come to you every week, bringing you the brightest and best business owners all around the state of Georgia. We talk about the do's and don'ts of starting, running, and creating a successful business. We also bring on some kids, these young kids that have dreams of being an entrepreneur, and we let them pitch their ideas right here on the Shrimp Tank. We don't actually buy into them, but we let them pitch them and see if we can help them create a brighter and better future, not only here in Georgia, but across the United States of America. And as always, we find out whether or not our owners will swim or sink in the tank. Every week, we normally came to you from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Tuesdays. But guess what? On your... I guess, well, it wasn't always just on your feedback, but because of Chris Hanks' schedule, you know, really is why this happened. We moved our show to 11:30 to 12:30, which I'm excited about because you can basically grab your lunch. You can go down to the deli, get a bite to eat, put on the Shrimp Tank. And boy, this way, you can get education right while you sit at your desk during the middle of the day. So we're glad to bring you this right at lunchtime. As always, I'm joined with my co-host every week, Chris Hanks, who is the founder and executive director at the KSU or SHORE Center for Entrepreneurship, which is blowing up. And Chris, what is going on today?
Today, you know, we are gearing up for year number two. So we had our inaugural year, which was super, super, we exceeded every milestone that we ever laid forth and getting ready to scale, you know, which is kind of like an entrepreneurial thing. You know, that first year you spend a lot of time being the doer of the thing that you do.
Yeah.
And then you got to learn how to be the owner of the thing that you do.
For folks that are tuning into the show for the first time, and I know many have listened, I mean, tell me a little bit about what it looks like for a kid. Like, you've got a kid in high school now, and I know people are thinking about a lot of colleges out there. And by the way, there's a lot more made about the name of the school. It's funny about brand names. You pay 60 grand for a school. You find out your kid a few weeks after school is a barista at Starbucks. It didn't work out so well. What does a kid learn that goes in this KSU Center of Entrepreneurship, and I want to get an entrepreneurship degree? What's the process look like? What's the education going to be like?
Well, it's not so much teaching entrepreneurship as much as having them experience entrepreneurship. You know, we remember our experiences. We're not going to have the kids fill out Scantron bubbles or memorize the things exactly how the professor wants them to memorize it and regurgitate it back on a test. Transformation occurs through experiences. And so we're all about experiential education and letting these students feel what it's like to do a pitch in front of scary entrepreneurs, or what is it like to actually be forced to start a business? And guess what? You have to bootstrap it using the resources you have at your disposal, as opposed to, you know, asking somebody's permission to start. So those kinds of things that we force students to do, and it changes them, and they form a mindset.
So there's no test, right? You told me they don't take tests in this program.
Not traditional ones, no, but they're graded on their experiences and how well they do in some of these competitions that we do.
Now, I've been thinking about this for a while now, and I've been meaning to bring it up for a couple of shows, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this, but every once in a while, I'm pretty sure that a college student may come in hungover. And have you thought about having a hangover day? Like, you make them go in and run a business the day after hungover?
No, but I've had a student start a business for that purpose. So it's a hangover kit. They deliver Chick-fil-A biscuit, some type of juice, and a vitamin
pill.
Is it
tomato juice?
And there was some type of other things in this kit. But it was like literally a hangover kit they could pre-order, and they would deliver them in the morning to the dorm rooms. So
I love that.
The hangover kit.
I thought there was one other kid I saw, you know, last year, for folks that didn't know about this. There were 100 kids. I was fortunate to be part of the judging system. One of our co-hosts on here, Lee Heisman, actually trained the winner.
He trained the winner.
I don't call it coaching with Lee. It was training. It wasn't coaching. Coaching is basically...
He got the ring. Yeah, you didn't get the ring. He got the championship ring.
He probably has a trophy on his mantle at home somewhere, something like that, you know. I think it's a great thing what's happening with the kids there. I know that we're doing lots of things at the high schools now. We're starting to talk to Cherokee High School.
Absolutely. And,
parents out there, look, I'm not telling you not to send your kids to college, right? Your college degree is great, but it's not the only way in life. And a lot of these kids that go to college ultimately want to run their own business. What better way to learn than to be at KSU, which will be an accredited degree in entrepreneurship, right?
That vote goes our way. And hopefully we're going to find out this semester, fall semester, by September. I'm hoping to know whether or not we'll have the only entrepreneurship major.
Well, of course it will go your way. You just call me up. And I know guys.
So do you know guys that can influence the vote?
I know guys named Vinny that I would say it's about 10 grand, but right now maybe for eight, you know, we can,
make it happen.
Cut the brakes in the parking lot.
Give them an offer they can't refuse.
I want to tell you one thing before we bring on our guest, Richard Howe from Howe & Associates. I'm really excited to have him on today. I mean, he's been a chief counsel in over 9,000 legal cases. 9,000 legal cases. If you're a business owner, you may not be in 9,000, but you'll probably be in 9, whether you like it or not. They're just going to come at you one way or the other. But I was reading an article in Entrepreneur Magazine, Chris, and I'm wondering what you think about this. And it was talking about, how do you measure brilliance? You know, when people get into business and they basically talk about brilliance, how do you tell a student about measuring greatness or brilliance when you educate them at KSU in the entrepreneurship program?
So how do you measure brilliance? Why would you attempt to measure brilliance? That's interesting to me.
Well, a lot of people, sometimes they talk about, I'll tell you where some of this came about, is that LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
The arguments always go on in sports, especially who's the best of the best.
Yeah.
And LeBron James came out and basically said that his motivation now is he's chasing a ghost. And that ghost be one number 23, Michael Jordan from the Chicago Bulls, and saying, I want to go down as the greatest player in history.
Yeah.
And there are people that say, well, why are you chasing that person? You should really be chasing your own greatness. And then the question goes to, how do you really measure brilliance or greatness of a business owner?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. But I've always heard the phrase that, you know, like success is measured by the number of obstacles you've overcome. And it reminds me a little bit about Michael Jordan, which I thought was interesting. We use that example sometimes when we talk about failure, because so many business owners are plagued by this idea of failure, or aspiring entrepreneurs don't want to start a business because they're so afraid of that word failure. And Michael Jordan attributes a lot of his success to being cut from his high school basketball team.
Yeah.
Like that forced him, that work ethic that he is so known for and became known for, it started with him getting cut from that team and this guy, his friend, making the team and him not. And he got this incredible work ethic, because they say, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And so that constant application, you know, success being measured in number of days, constant focus on, hey, you know what? What's my win for today? And keep at it. I think that's how we measure success in entrepreneurship.
Jordan's favorite quote, and we'll get to our guest here, is that he says to Phil Jackson at one time, Phil Jackson says, you know, Michael, he says, there's no I in team. He says, but there is I in win. There is I in win. It's nice. It's in there. So pretty interesting Jordan quote. Well, as we bring you on the Shrimp Tank right here at our new time, 11:30 to 12:30 on Thursday, join us for lunch every week. Chris Lee Heisman, myself, and our fabulous guests, the brightest and best business owners across the state of Georgia. We've got Richard Howe on today of Howe & Associates. And like I said at the get-go a few minutes ago, that he has been legal counsel or chief legal counsel in over 9,000 cases. And so I guess the question to start off, you know, Richard, here is like, there are a lot of ways that you can get into being an attorney. There are a lot of attorneys out there. Why does one choose to get into doing this kind of attorney work that you do, and being a debt collector and helping with debt collection and personal injury?
Well, I appreciate it, Tim. My real passion is sales. I graduated from Georgia Southern with a marketing major, and I always knew that I was going to be in sales at some, you know, in some extent. I worked in sales for about 10 years out of college with some large firms and some small firms. And that gave me a lot of really good skills that I use today. And that helps me separate the law firm from others, because I can go out and sell and use my experience and my marketing background to separate this law firm from others. You know, it helps me to monetize my skill and position this law firm in the marketplace.
So when you talk about positioning in the marketplace, you know, there's so many lawyers and into business owners. Sometimes, you know, it almost feels like a commodity. So how could you position and differentiate? What advice do you have when it comes to separating yourself from the competition?
Well, you know, marketing is key. And a lot of lawyers really don't, that's not something they're taught in law school, that's for sure. You know, they're going to teach constitutional law and torts. And so they're not going to teach them marketing. So I had the advantage of working in the business world in a structured sales training environment. And that allowed me to learn a lot of the skills that I use in going out and meeting with clients. A lot of our debt collection clients are small businesses, and Atlanta is a fabulous place for that. And, you know, it's one of my favorite things to do is to go out and meet with a small business that might have some collection issues. They don't really often know that they have an alternative in a law firm. A lot of people think that the law firms are just going to be an expensive alternative. I can't use them. They're going to charge me, you know, by the hour. Nobody wants to, if they're trying to collect a $10,000 debt, they don't want to pay $15,000 to do it. So our contingency arrangement allows the client to have a comfort level of knowing that they have zero risk in this. They have no risk. They know exactly what it is going forward, what our contingency rate is, and then that combined with our experience level makes it to where we're...
You know, I know various industries where there's that kind of business model, but especially if you're somebody who's thinking about getting into this type of service field, you know, being an attorney, how did you choose to go to the model where, you know, essentially you're working on contingency versus where most people think, oh, here comes a lawyer, it's $375 an hour. That's maybe just my lawyer. $375 an hour. How did you know to go that model?
Well, there's certain types of law that just fit well with contingency. Employment law, you couldn't do that. You have to charge by the hour, or you know, a lot of these complex matters. But debt collection and personal injury—that's what we focus our practice on and have for over 30 years now. Those lend itself very well to a contingency billing arrangement.
Well, it's an interesting lesson, though, because if you think about it, what is a customer really paying for? They don't really care about how much time you spend on something, right? In fact, it's the worse you are at your job, the more it costs me. Because if it takes a good, you know, you 2 hours, where a good attorney, you know, a better attorney, maybe it took 1 hour, I'm penalized for the time. So the fact that you can just say, look, no, here's the outcome or result that I promise you, you pay, you know, and you know what? Hey, you don't pay me unless I deliver for you. That's kind of a powerful value proposition, I think, that all entrepreneurs can learn from. You know, that
I wish I could. I wish I could work like that. I mean, you can't in our industry.
Yeah, if you deliver a certain type of return, that would be amazing, right?
I would love to do that, but it's not the way the regulators literally won't let you do that. You know, you have different industries you can do it, and ones that you can't.
Yep.
One of the things I think that's interesting here, it'd be interesting to talk to entrepreneurs, because it's not just your industry; it happens in a lot of industries. When they hear people hear that term personal industry, they think, oh no, that guy, you know, it's the guy on TV, like after you've watched the second rerun of Love Boat at 2 a.m. in the morning, and he's got on there and it's like, I'm with Johnson & Johnson. And if your car crashes or your bike falls down, we're here for you. You know, how do you try to market yourself to get past that stigma? Because a lot of businesses have that stigma, and you know, not everyone will be an attorney, but there are a lot of fields that have that stigma. How do you deal with that?
Well, it is an issue, and that's something I was very concerned about. I do a lot of videos for my website, so I do a lot of marketing through our website. Most of our business comes from referrals, so the job that we've done for people, they see that, and they you know, they tell that to people. But you know, there is marketing that you have to do. And I had a lot of the local stations come to me and they said, Richard, you'd be great. Let's do a commercial. And I said, well, that's really not me.
Did you do commercials?
I'm still thinking about it, but I have not done that yet. So
you don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy.
After Slopes Barbecue, you know, in the middle of things. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah. I have not seen.
Oh my God. They're horrific commercials. I'm sorry if he's listening, but they're just bad. I have to say they're bad. They're not good.
Yeah. But you know, I will say, in defense of personal injury attorneys, and even those, you know, the clients need, you know, legal counsel on these things. They really don't know where to turn. And if it means, you know, going to somebody that is on the TV and that person is experienced, then they're going to provide a value service.
I know that because I'd done life insurance for a lot of years, but I mentioned the two words life insurance, and then people, they completely close off. It's like, I don't want to, yeah. I don't want Ned Ryerson at my table here trying to sell me some life insurance. It's not good. Yeah. But the people need it, and it's only when that tragedy happens, right? The worst thing for you is the tragedy happens. Do people need your service more than they ever did before?
True. They want that experience, and that's what we're able to bring. I mean, 30-plus years of experience. We have four attorneys. None of us have any less than 20 years of litigation experience, trial experience. So they have our clients have the comfort level of knowing that when they give us a case, you know, we're going to be able to handle whatever legal issue is going to come up with that. So that's a big advantage to us.
Wow. And you also brought up something else that I thought was interesting that actually Ted taught me a lot about is you know, like it's one thing to be really good at what you do, like a lawyer being really good at what they do. But if nobody knows about you, that doesn't really matter. So it's not necessarily the person who is the best at something that's also the highest paid or the most successful business owner, right? It's sort of the best marketed thing right. as opposed to the best at that thing. So, Ted, you know something about it. I mean, you talked to a lot of my students about that before.
What you're talking about here, and this is true for all businesses that are listening to the Shrimp Tank today, right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We're talking to Richard Howe from Howe & Associates. Again, he's litigated over 9,000 cases, expert in debt collection and personal injury. But when you're in a space that's highly cluttered, personal injury being a big one, right? Every time I hear some commercial somewhere, it's like, I wrote the book on personal injury. You know, it's like, no, you didn't. But the question is, how do you separate yourself from the clutter that's out there? Because Chris is exactly right. There are probably some good attorneys you know. There are probably some really bad attorneys you know. But good or bad, if you're better at getting in front of people, you make more money.
Yep, that's true. And it's just experience. It's the experience and having them talk to people that have been through it. You know, talk to the people that we've represented. And those are the ones that help, you know, market us. Our clients that can speak to and refer us. That's the main thing. Most of our clients come from referrals.
Yeah, because I kind of wish that I knew about this before, because I can remember so many examples of, you know, a debt that I had or somebody refusing to pay or whatever, and I just move on for the same reason.
Do you have a dirt bike accident too expensive.
So no,
you had
well,
a dirt
just,
bike accident?
Just no dirt bike okay. accidents, but just non-payment for customers or contracts to say, well, they're not going to honor it. And you just kind of move on as a business owner. You just kind of move on because you're like, okay, if it's a $5,000, $2,000, that's too small to get in. You know, I'm not going to hire an attorney for that, right? So you just move on and you eat that loss. To have an option, because you deal with, you know, gosh, a $5,000 debt is not too small for you, right?
It's not. It's more of a bread and butter type case, really.
Yeah.
And I always say that those are the easier ones to collect anyway. I mean, you have to have enough of those to counteract the larger ones that are going to be extended and are going to take a lot more litigation. So you do have to have plenty of the $3,000 to $7,000 cases that are constantly coming in, because those are the easier ones to collect.
Yeah, so that's a great lesson right there for those who are listening. Is, you know, just don't move on like I used to do. I mean, just move. There may be an option for even the $5,000, the $2,000, the $7,000, so that way they can make sure they get those receivables.
Hey, we're going to take a break from our sponsors in just a minute. Be right back here on the Shrimp Tank. Remember, you can always hear a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com, including the first segment we did here with Richard Howe, the owner or partner in Howe & Associates, litigated over 9,000 cases, which is crazy when you think about the size of that. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I've always wondered one question about Aaron Brockovich, and I want to ask Richard when we get back from our break.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 and ask for Lee.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. Come to you live right here every week, 11:30 to 12:30. I know that lead guy, and if you have IT stuff, surely you want to use Savant. It's almost going to be like nobody's there, and your stuff just works. It's pretty cool stuff. We're here with Richard Howe from Howe & Associates. Again, he's not only a special in debt collection, but in personal industry. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director of the KSU, now Shore Center of Entrepreneurship, exploding in this state. I still predict that KSU is going to be just as big. I know you're going to hate me for saying this. It's going to be just as big as the Georgia and Georgia Tech's, not for long, right? Very soon it's going to be size-wise, maybe.
Yeah, we are already. Bigger.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, where they talk about, well, my kid's going to apply to this school.
Yeah.
People are going to be
absolutely
clamoring for to get into Kennesaw State.
We are the destination for serious students serious about entrepreneurship.
Actually, I have an intern that's worked for me over the summer and decided to continue on his internship during the fall semester here, doing a great job. They gave me one of these rising stars from Kennesaw State. And I got to tell you, if you don't think these kids are legit, they're legit. This kid is on the ball. My man Kurt does it like no other. Now we want to get to our segment here that we call Hot or Not. I want to ask Richard some questions of what he thinks about business. And off of the last segment, I just teased up a little bit about this Erin Brockovich, whatever it is that you want to call her. I know I probably didn't say it right. But what I did want to ask you is the Hot or Not, do you want to be a Walmart shop or do you want to be a Neiman Marcus shop? And when I ask you that question, what I mean is some personal injury can probably go for, you know, the $8 million cases and hope to have a big contingency or do the Walmart, like the bread and butters you're talking about, is there, which one's hot or which one's not?
For us, it's Neiman Marcus. We like to consider ourselves the law firm that can handle the complex injury cases. So if you're talking about the personal injury cases that involve major injuries, those are the ones that we look to handle. Now, the surprising thing is with a personal injury case, we like to get that case early on. It's very important for our law firm to be able to start working with a client early. And a lot of times they really don't know the extent of injuries until they, you know, get a firm diagnosis. So
it can take years to settle a big one, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the challenges that we have is
yeah, that presents a cash flow issue.
Yeah. That's a cash flow issue and letting the client understand that it is going to take a long time.
Right,
I mean, litigation
right.
in and of itself, and we litigate all the time. And so you're looking at a year down the line of getting a trial date from the time that you even file a lawsuit.
Wow. So hot or not, going to trial? Is that hot? That no, sounds that, kind of cool. But,
yeah,
you know,
it sounds cool.
But I watch movies, I don't know.
For a contingency lawyer, really, no, to be honest with you. Now, we are prepared. Our motto is we prepare every single case as if it is going to trial. And we do. And we have four trial attorneys. So we prepare, and that reputation that we have is what allows us to gain the maximum settlements in these cases because the insurance companies know that we are experienced trial attorneys. However, just it's better to settle the case.
So, but you don't like going to trial, do you get like that sense of, I don't know, game day? Hey, you know what? It's on. It's fun. We're so doing this. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
So
Like, oh, the energy comes. Yeah. Believe me. Yeah.
So you bring it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh,
you have to,
yeah.
Especially the jury trials. They're you know, the jurors, a lot of times won't even listen to what the lawyers are saying. They're just seeing who is more energetic, who knows what they're talking about, how do they project themselves. So that's really, really, really important, especially in a jury trial.
Why do I feel like between 1985 and 1995, Hanks watched a lot of movies? There was a period in there where Hanks watched a lot of movies. So I thought this was like
while I wasn't dating. Yeah, that's what I was doing. So exactly. Yeah.
All right. Hot or not, especially in a law firm here where you're dealing really sensitive stuff, do you hire family members?
I would say definitely not. So I would say not. I mean, with family members, you know, they're just, there's certain rules. I tell my kids that don't do business with family and friends. That's just really, you know.
Do you say that? I mean, it's hard, right? You know,
no matter what you do, it can be construed as favoritism. So,
wow.
and people have a challenge with deciding where to put family members. They put them in disjointed places. They'll put them as head of marketing when they should be an accountant. There are a lot of challenges in that. So I would say definitely not.
All right. Hot or not, intimidating juries.
The juries are really going to be, there's really not a lot of intimidating juries, really.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have any
kind of psych out?
You don't stare at them uncomfortably or do any kind of tactic to psych them out and intimidate them?
They don't tip their hand.
You use like a Joe Pesci, the two Utes or something like that?
Now that jurors do not like to tip their hand. They like to
they
keep
don't?
It to them. They keep it close to the vest.
They do.
They really do.
You can't read their faces, their poker faces?
If you try to do that, you might read it wrong.
Well, I would say Hanks in the South would have been great because like there in the whole movie was set in the South, you know. I just want to hear him once and here. identical. All right, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. When we come back with Richard Howe from Howe & Associates, like I said from the beginning here, you know, from hearing him and doing over 9,000 cases, look, if you got a debt collection you got to deal with or a personal injury case, he sounds like the guy that's probably got to tackle it for you. He's got to tackle it for you. And when we get back, it's ironic that our third segment with an attorney today is the Plead the Fifth segment. So yes, that doesn't happen very often. We'll be right back with the Shrimp Tank and Plead the Fifth as a break from our sponsors.
Would you like to enjoy live radio at your next trade show, expo, or conference? Well, now you can with Radio in My Booth, brought to you by Business Radio X. Engaging a target audience on location, interviewing your most coveted prospects and valued clients. Go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live each week here in Atlanta Business Radio X from 11:30 to 12:30. Thanks for joining us during lunchtime. You can always catch a replay of the entire broadcast if you missed it at shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the KSU, now Shore Center of Entrepreneurship. That wasn't my rap like Rhodey, by the way. It was just me stuttering in the mic. And we're joined with our guest today, Richard Howe from Howe & Associates. We're talking all today about personal injury cases, debt collection, things like that. Look, this is important stuff. There's going to be that time in that you know somebody or somebody in your life and something happens to them, and then what? And I know that there are other businesses, like if your building blows up or a tree falls on your house, it isn't always the best thing to go to the insurance company. In fact, a lot of times, it's the worst thing. And you end up getting a lot less money than you could. So I guess my first Plead the Fifth question today is that, seeing that you're a business owner and a personal injury attorney, is it a good idea to marry an attorney?
Well, a lot of people would look at that as saving money. Well, you know, the two of us together in there, we both, could to work these cases together. But, you know, that falls into the same, you know, attorneys work long hours, let's face it. I mean, and especially when you own your own practice. So, you know, it's a challenge, but I work around it. I work around it and try and be as efficient as I can. You know, it's the 80-20 rule. I'll focus on the 20% of the things that I do best, and I'll outsource everything else. My technology goes to Savant. Everything else is you know, outsourced when it needs to be. Hmm.
So, you know, there's that the famous Michael Gerber book, E-Myth Revisited, where he talks about the technicians who are really good at the doing of the work. And now, you know, you move from, you know, the lawyer to owning the firm. So what would you say is your weakest aspect of running a business and owning that, you know, since you are the technician and then you're moving to owner? What's your biggest weakness as a leader?
Well, I would think that my employees might say that it's meetings. I talked earlier in the show about how I had the advantage of working with some large companies prior to running my own law firm. And there were meetings every day for all kinds of different
meetings
reasons.
To
plan the meetings. And so I became very averse to meetings.
Yes.
So I've probably gone
that's
the
a weakness?
Other way. Well, I've gone the other way, and now, you know, probably should have more of those, you know, more of the, you know, the you know, personnel meetings, face-to-face meetings with the employees. They want to hear, even if it's a constructive criticism, they want to hear more. I probably, since you asked, I have to say it, you know, I need to work on that a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's a Plead the Fifth for you. And as I was thinking about this question, I thought that this is kind of a horrible question, but I want to ask it anyway, just because it came to my mind here. And I was interested that if somebody in your career was getting a big settlement, have you ever had somebody who tried to date a client of yours knowing that they were going to get a big settlement, that you saw them all of a sudden get hit on? It's like winning the lottery, like they knew they were going to win the lottery.
I've never seen that, to be honest with you.
There's a market right there.
Yeah. Ryan,
I got you a business right there. Yeah. Just like,
can now, I get a list of your clients?
Yeah.
Yeah. Single.
With monetary settlements.
It's datetheinjured.com.
We'll just put that
right now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have had female clients that have been in accidents that said that the guy that ran into them while they're waiting on the police did try to start asking them out there. So I've had that. Yeah. I've had that happen.
I've tried that move before. It didn't work.
That's a nice opening line there by running into him from behind.
You didn't mean to rear end you.
Yeah, yeah, but can I have your number?
All right, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you in court?
I tried a case one time in small town Georgia. It took me forever to go through voir dire, which is picking the jury. And it was a real small town. Everybody knew each other. And so I had to strike so many people. And I still had to go with that jury. And I did the best I could to get all the people off there that didn't know everybody and the defendant. And it turns out that what I had to go with, they knew the judge. There were a couple of them that knew the defense counsel. So that was very difficult situation for me. It was an elusive situation in that case.
So you didn't collect a big settlement on that case, I'm assuming?
Well, we ended up settling it, but I was, there were problems going on with it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cheesiest personal injury attorney you ever met.
I might have to plead the fifth.
Oh, nice. Way to go, Ted. That's your first one, I think, right? Your first plead the fifth with an attorney.
Nicely played, sir.
Very
like that.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. That's a drop the mic right there. I can't even follow up.
I know.
All right. How about the most hated competitor? Do you have a big hated competitor in town?
Well, believe it or not, I really don't. I
like that.
We
take on all competitors.
I look at our competition not so much as another law firm, because we're very niched. We have the hourly law firms that clients don't want to pay too much for. Yeah. We have collection agencies that really don't have the knowledge that we do. So we fit very well right in the middle, and there's really not a lot of competition there. I would say my main competition would be what I see in the marketplace, the courts. They're more defense oriented than they are plaintiffs. So they have a bias sometimes against plaintiffs going in the door. And then they're raising their prices now. The court to file a lawsuit now is very, very expensive. You'd file a lawsuit for $75, you'd get your service and filing. Now you're pushing $400 to get in the door. So I would say that's my biggest competition, because clients just don't want to put that money up front to let us file suit.
Yeah. So what's the thing that that business owners, that you are afraid that some of your clients would find out about the debt collection process?
That I would be afraid of them finding
out? Afraid of them finding out. Like, is that thing that, like how they say that you don't want to see how the sausage is made. Like, what's the thing that you don't want to, you wouldn't want your clients to see?
I'll answer that in a lawyer term, and I'll twist your question into, I wish they would appreciate, that's one of my biggest challenges. Because contingency, clients really don't see how much we do. So if there's something that we're talking about them not seeing that they should see, would be how much work that goes into these cases. And clients think, if you collect it too soon, you didn't work hard enough. Yeah. Or, hey, you didn't collect this. It's been, Richard, it's been a year down the line.
You're not working hard enough. Look
at this bucket file that I've got going on here.
Okay.
Well, if we've got somebody listening today who's a small business owner that's in need of getting some debts collected, or somebody that has just gone through a situation where they have got a personal injury, they're not sure how to handle it, how can somebody listening to the Shrimp Tank today get in touch with you, learn more about you, your firm, and how you can help them resolve their problems?
We're seen everywhere. We're word of mouth, all of that. So
is there a good website or
debtcollectionatlanta.com.
Oh, I like that.
injurylawfirmatlanta.com.
debtcollectionatlanta.com and injurylawfirmatlanta.com. Atlanta.com. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show. For all of you that listened to the show today, there's going to be a post-show wrap-up that we're going to do and a great video that you ought to check out on the website. For those of you that joined us late in the middle of your lunch, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. You should listen to all of Richard's interview, especially if you want to learn something about potentially running a law firm one day, dealing on building a business that may work on contingency or that kind of model, or more so, if something happens to you personally, how can you resolve this with the court? So, next week, we're going to bring you our guest is Cliff Oxford. By the way, when Cliff comes on, he's going to be a fabulous guest. And you talk about an entrepreneur. He's the entrepreneur of entrepreneurs, because he's got an Oxford Center. And he's got roughly 300-500 entrepreneurs in there, small and large alike. We'll be excited to hear about his take about not only his business, but what's happening in the entrepreneurial world. And as always, you ought to go to KSU's website and check out what's going on with the Entrepreneurship School or talk to Chris. It's unbelievable, the growth in that business. We're excited to see kids do better here, not only in Atlanta, but across the United States, because we know that small business owners are the future of America. It isn't the large corporations that are going to create the jobs. It's people that basically get into work, get dirty, and create more jobs here in the future. No matter what happens at this presidential election, it will be the small guy that creates a job. So thanks for listening to The Shrimp Tank, and stay tuned for ShrimpTankPodcast.com. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.